Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. So, kings, depending on your vernacular, we back at it. We back at it. Hey, man, a lot of stuff has happened this week. Bears coaches got fired. Ryan Pace got fired. And George McCaskey had a press conference, and he looked like a retard. No disrespect to retards.
Hey, yo, hold up. Let's get a round of applause for them firings, though.
It was much needed.
Much needed. Yes. Well-deserved, much needed.
Yeah. Because the issue, we can get off on that first, because the issue I have, the Bears, and it's a reason why I wanted Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy fired. I know Pace did some decent things with the roster. It's because the Bears have been trapped, and Adams Johns did an article on this, and I've been saying this for a while. They always threw things backward, right? Backwards. They hired a GM, but don't let the GM hire the coach. Right, what they did with Pace, they forced them to have John Fox, and like when Phil Emery, they hired Phil Emery, but they kept Lovie Smith, and then made Emery hire Lovie Smith, and he didn't want Lovie Smith, and then they like hired Mel Tucker, and then made him run Lovie Smith's defense, but you fired Lovie Smith. It's always like this overlap of dysfunction. So I'm glad they just cleared house, man. So that's the first thing I want to talk about. How y'all feel about that? I'm ecstatic that they did that they got rid of both of them. No disrespect to Ryan Pace and the things he done for getting Justin Fields and Khalil Mack, but they both needed to go, man.
Okay, well, it was much ado, and I say it was well overdue. What tripped me out, though, is that these motherfuckers was legit about to keep Ryan Pace. Bill Polian had to make them fire him, which was their consultant. Bill Polian had to make them fire him, right? Or Ryan Pace would have stuck around for another, who knows how long. Ryan Pace is the epitome of where we're at right now. Yes, he's had some hits. He's had the Khalil Macks. He's had the, the Robert Quinn that paid dividends this year. He's had some hits, but he has some catastrophic misses too. And you can't overlook those catastrophic misses. Anytime you miss on a quarterback, that sets your franchise back 5 years. At least 5 years. Okay? Those who don't believe me, well, guess what? When the last time we made the playoffs? That was the 2018 season. We're now going.
We made it 2020. You made it.
No. I'm talking about 12-4, won the division.
Oh.
I'm thinking about that because I don't count them 8 years where we back in.
Legitimately made the playoffs.
Right. So, you know, that was, 2018? It's now 2022. That's 4 years. Where have we went? Nowhere. So it sets your franchise back 5 years, and hopefully this fifth year coming up is, you know, whoever we hire, whether it be whoever, because I'm not going to sit here and act like I got a crystal ball and I know what the fuck is going on, because I don't.
Preach.
You know, I don't. I just throw candidates out there and I give my personal opinion on who I think will be the best fit moving forward, whether it be general manager or whether it be head coach. You know, I see people, you know, they was tweeting all this bullshit last weekend and all this nonsense. Harbaugh's going to Las Vegas. Chirp, chirp. And these are people with checks. These are people with legitimate checks. And it's like, yo, y'all just throwing shit out in the universe to see what sticks. What makes you think that Bashotti, what makes you think that he's not going to be the Raiders head coach? And he just like corrected all of the turmoil that went on with them and then took them to the playoffs.
Almost won.
He should actually be coach of the year, in my opinion. That man should be coach of the year for the miraculous job that he did. But shifting our conversation back to the Bears, That firing was needed. Matt Nagy and all these reports that's coming out, I take that shit with a grain of salt, because I'm not going to believe that, just like I'm not believing the Brian Flores shit, right? That's coming out in Miami. I take it with a grain of salt. Mitch wasn't a fucking good quarterback, folks. No matter how you try to shape it, no matter how you try to carve it, he came in with notes and then did this and did that. Funny how all these reports come out. They don't come out during the season. They don't come out when he's the head coach. They come out after he leaves. Well, who's telling this? And who's telling this story?
You gotta look at it for what it is, too, though, man. We've established what he did about to anybody that said anything that went against what he thought or what he was preaching, right? What his vision was. Anybody that said anything, anybody that voiced their opinion, he automatically threw him to the doghouse. And we ran down a list of names of players that did it. So, yeah, it makes sense that this type of stuff is coming out now. And by no means am I an apologist for Mitch Trubisky. We know what he was. We know what he is right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, that does not negate what Nagy was doing. And this is stuff that I've said was going on since 2019, bro. Yeah, since 2019, I've been saying this over and over and over. And people was looking at me crazy. Like I didn't know what I was talking about. And I'm sitting there saying, like it was clear to me when 2019 started, he didn't like Mitch at that point. After 2018, after they had the good year, mm-hmm. he didn't like Mitch. And the reason I say that is because he put him in a no-win situation. You went through 2019, the offseason, you didn't allow him any games in preseason, none of that stuff, right? He did not take one snap during preseason. And then you threw him out there in the first game against Green Bay, division rival, and you dropped him back to pass 60 times. To me, right there, that let me know he don't like Mitch. He doesn't see it in this kid for whatever reason, and he don't want him there, period. And he's trying to make him look bad. And it just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed. And the situation is what it was. Now, like I said, I'm not talking about Mitch was great or anything like that, but this is his MO. This is what he's done. And this is what he continued to do in 2019, 2020, and 2021. He did it to our new quarterback as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I don't care what nobody says. I'm going to keep saying it. It's sabotage. People say, oh, no, he wouldn't sabotage. Bro, he already knew he was out the door. He didn't care. You could look at what he did this season. You could see he didn't care. Now, Ryan Pace, I was of the mindset that he had done enough good to kind of clean up some of the mistakes that he made, right? And one of the things that I gave him credit for was getting Justin Fields, because I thought there was no way we could get Justin Fields. Not being at 21 last year, right? Making the playoffs, being at 21, but being able to move up, the draft happened the way it happened. He took advantage of it and went and drafted Justin Fields, which I didn't think he was going to do. So I had to give him credit for that. The picking of Mitch Trubisky was stupid. He should have picked Deshaun Watson. I'm not going to lay blame of Pat Mahomes at his feet, because there are also, 12 other teams that didn't pick him, or 10
right.
or whatever.
But you can't – I feel you on a Deshaun Watson, because he's shown you he just beat Alabama.
Yeah,
he went national championship.
He drove down and scored a go-ahead touchdown.
Exactly.
He just beat Alabama.
Jonathan,
how do you pass on that?
Hearing that, man.
How do you pass on that? How do you pass on that? And everybody was saying, this is Deshaun Watson is like Michael Jordan out there in football. In football. That's what he was doing. You know, it was just his mannerisms, everything about him, the leadership that he showed.
He played in the national championship the year before against Alabama and almost beat Alabama, except he gave us time to come back down and score.
Exactly.
We had the final score. He got the ball last that time.
Exactly.
And people don't remember
if the defense
that.
Held up, then they would have won that game.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't lay blame at Pat Mahomes, but for the Deshaun Watson deal, when you trade up one pick, you panicked. You know what I mean? that was the sign of a GM who was immature. He didn't know what he was doing. You
and
know
nobody
I mean?
In a right mind, when the Bears traded up at that point in time, nobody in a right mind, if they say we thought we was taking Mitchell, they thought that we was taking Mitchell, you're a fucking lie. Okay.
No one. Watch the broadcast.
Yeah, no
watch
one.
Watch the 2017 draft.
It was so shocking when they mentioned Mitchell
right
Trubisky.
Why did you go from
Even Mayock and them was like, whoa.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? True enough, Trubisky, his stock was rising, but he wasn't on that level. He wasn't on that level. Nowhere close to that level. If he had gone 15 to 20, okay, I'm cool with that. But to go 2 overall over the what you knew you had in Deshaun Watson, that was a problem. But, you know, I thought him getting Justin Fields and some of the deals that he made, some of the things that he did, was kind of making up for his mistakes. But at the end of the day, and I said this a couple weeks ago, if he cannot detach himself from Matt Nagy somehow, some way, and you let him continue on, I was saying fire him halfway through the season. If he had fired him halfway through the season, then you can make more of an argument for him staying around. But when you can't detach yourself and you let this man finish it out after you see what he's doing, and the fans see it, the media sees it, everybody sees it, how you dropped the ball with Justin Fields and you didn't, and you hindered his development for a whole year. When that happened, he should have detached himself. And because he couldn't, he had to go as well.
Yeah, I think maybe management didn't let him because, you know, they don't fire coaches in the season. Maybe he didn't have the juice. They were like, no, bro, you sat up here and told me all this collaboration. You remember that? They said collaboration. Mm-hmm. So many times, bro, they collaboration, working together. And they were collaborated on the Justin Fields thing. They both were tied into that. So they couldn't, Nagy probably cost Pace's job because he couldn't, like you said, he couldn't separate himself. But also, man, Jared Payton said this in a tweet. He don't usually get involved in this. He's usually pro Bears. He said he was hearing that if Ryan Pace stays, the Bears' job is less attractive. The reason why I believe that,
yeah,
because he's a lame duck. You're his third head coach.
Right.
You and if you want to get in with a guy, if you hire a head coach, we're going to get into head coaches. And be honest, we all on Twitter about head coaches. You know probably matters more than the head coach right now?
GM. Yeah.
The GM absolutely. And the coach have to be in sync. They have to know what they want. Hey, I want this type of player. I need this type of offensive line.
Yep.
I want to run this type of defense. I need these type of tight ends. You need to give me these type of players.
Because if you hire a GM that has a certain vision for a football team, because this is what he's molded as, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be defense, whether it be secondary, whether it be wide receivers, he's great at, you know, seeing wide receiver talent, whatever the case may be, you know, if you hire a GM with that type of makeup and then you hire a coach that is something completely different, mm-hmm. they will never mesh, bro. Nope. It will never work. So, like I, you know, and I tweeted it earlier, either yesterday and today, actually, you line up the GM first, get the GM in the door and let him hire who he wants.
Exactly.
Because even if you marry these guys together and they don't have no say so in it, the coach is constantly looking over his shoulder like, this GM, my boss, don't really want me. Yeah. He probably wants somebody else.
Yeah, I
want
to run power. He's giving me zone players, zone blocking players. I can't win these little dudes, you know?
Exactly.
And so, and like the Bears, what they are doing, they're doing a lot of Zoom interviews. So people don't understand, like, doing all these interviews with the coaches is all Zoom. So what they're doing is they're interviewing Zoom people, and then they're going to have their finalists, and then they're probably going to – I think the Bears might even have an idea of who they want at GM.
Yeah, they
already.
Might.
Already. They might. And they're just getting head coaching, just gathering intel.
I think so, it's going to be Rick Smith.
It might be, you know who I think, or it might be one of those Indianapolis guys, dude.
Dodge.
The reason why I say I think it's going to be Rick Smith is because look what the Bears did with that with their diversity. I think head coach is going to be black, and I think the general manager is going to be black. Because the Bears did too much move. They did too much shaking up. They have a sister on their panel that is going to hire the general manager and the next head coach, a black sister.
Yeah, is it optics, though? Because
I'm pretty sure they're going to hire one or the other. It's going to be a head coach or the GM is going to be. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I just see it because they – and the reason why I say this, they have a black franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
They want to relate to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How will you relate to him? Number one, they're going to hire a black head coach. I just see it. They're going to hire a black head coach to relate to them. Now – How, okay, again, the Bears ain't the ones to be taken. And again, you know, like we said before, a long time ago, how would they look at a dinner with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
They wouldn't know how to relate. How would that, okay, so you hire a coach, right, so you hire a coach that can relate to Justin Fields, right, mm-hmm. and relate to where he's coming from. Well, guess what? They said the head coach will report to the general manager, and the general manager will report to who?
George McCaskey.
Goddamn right. George cannot relate to he can't relate to his quarterback. So if he puts a hierarchy in place, what, general manager, black, head coach, black, franchise quarterback, black. That's why they did this big ass push for. Notice the Bears keep always talking about diversity, 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 diversity. I think it's Rick Smith, and I think Brian Flores is going to be the head coach. In all honesty, you know, I just see it happening.
You know who I can see, and I kind of was tweeting this too, like getting people intel. I don't know. I don't even know if it might be. It might be Brian Flores, but you know who I can see who has a hit. Who's a black guy? Who is who can speak to both sides of the aisle.
Jim
right?
Caldwell.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Jim Caldwell. Have you ever heard Jim Caldwell speak?
Yeah.
I encourage Bear fans to just Google Jim Caldwell to hear this man speak. He will motivate you to do almost anything. Yeah. He doesn't yell. He doesn't scream. And he's excellent with quarterbacks. Peyton Manning credits him with his development. He was his quarterback coach in Indianapolis.
Yep.
He was the offensive coordinator when they won the Super Bowl versus us. Yeah. And then he left and went to Baltimore.
No, he went to Baltimore and won a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Remember Joe Flacco looked amazing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Guess who his offensive coordinator was? Yeah. Jim Caldwell.
Yeah.
Guess who had Matt Stafford lighting up the NFL and had the Detroit Lions respectable, winning games, going to the playoffs with a written record? Jim Caldwell. Mm-hmm. It's a travesty that this man has not been in the NFL. You look at the landscape in the NFL, we got Joe Judges, we got Adam Gase getting back-to-back coaching gigs. We got Eric Mangini back in the day getting all kind of coaching opportunities.
Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Mike McCarthy.
Gets a loaded roster.
This man, yeah, he was out of the NFL. Why is this guy? People talking about his age. Look at Mike McCarthy. He's old. Arians is old. Yep. Belichick is old.
Yep.
Carroll is old. Vic Fangio's old. Like, all these guys are old, dude. You know? All these guys are old. Like, so, like, he's the type of guy that could come in here for the next 4 or 5 years.
This dude is 66. When you bring up his age at this point in time, that's nitpicking because you have nothing else that you can attack him on.
Exactly.
You can't attack his football IQ. You can't attack his resume and what he's done, what he's accomplished, especially Detroit is a terrible situation to go to.
Terrible.
It's a bad organization. You know what I'm saying? Straight up and down. But if you go there and you can have a measure of success there, it's the same thing I said last week when it comes to Marvin Lewis. To me, the level of success that he had in Cincinnati was crazy. Cincinnati was bad. They were decent in the 70s, early 80s. And then they were bad for 20 plus years.
Going on 30, 40.
You know what I mean? He took them to five straight playoff appearances. Had a 11-game winning season. 10-game winning seasons. So, you know what I mean? Those type of guys, for them to never get another opportunity, I don't understand why.
Bro, he got fired after 9-7 season. The Detroit Lions was seventh.
Was it 9-7 or 10-6?
They were 9-7 last year.
9-7? Okay.
Yeah, back-to-back 9-7 seasons, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Seventh-ranked scoring offense, 9-7. And he got fired. And who they hired? Matt Patricia. Now he on Dan Quinn. It's like when we fired Lovie. You had the coach. Like, out of all the guys on the market, the closest to me having a guy, because he fits my criteria, he's probably the closest to me having a guy is Jim Caldwell. Because not only that, he's the type of a guy who will create a coaching tree. You hire him, he hires an offensive coordinator because he's been around in the NFL. He already knows. He can tell
he's
you
very
right now
established.
It's going to be the quarterback coach on that team right now. If he was the coach of, probably would be your head coach or your offensive coordinator by the time he leaves because he develops, he cultivates, he teaches. Great offensive minds are developed. He was developed. Right, he came up under Dungy and he went to all these different places and he developed himself. So I want Bear fans just to open their minds, man, and we can get off from the coaches now. Like, I had a criteria for coaches, right? Mm-hmm. For one, I wanted somebody that had prior head coaching experience. Like, that's why Jim Caldwell fits that mold. Harbaugh fit that mold. Brian Flores, even on a lower level, not my top pick. Doug Peterson even fits that mold. He's better than Nagy. Mm-hmm. Todd Bowles. And the only two offensive coordinators that I even was like entertained was Dable, because of his coaching history, and Leftwich. I like Leftwich. I like Bruce Arians. I like the way Bruce Arians, I like the way he picks up the brothers. But Leftwich was a quarterback in the NFL. He was a coach, I think a quarterback coach in Arizona Cardinals, and he's coaching in Bucks. But listen, I'm not dying or cry if these guys get hired or don't get hired. I don't necessarily have a guy. So, and like Ned said, I'm not going to sit here and say I know who's going to get hired. Or if they hire this guy, he's going to be the instant fix for the Chicago Bears. Right. Man, we got a lot to fix, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we can sneak into the playoffs next year, but that, well, I'm talking about competing for championships, right? It's 5 to 6 teams every year that legitimately have a shot to win it all.
Yeah.
You got to be one of those 5 or 6 teams.
Right.
The Eagles, bro, they're cannon fodder. The Raiders, all these teams, New England, they ain't going to win the championship, bro. They just playing.
They're just there.
If you ain't Green Bay, you ain't Tampa Bay, you ain't the Bills, you ain't the Titans,
you ain't the Rams,
you ain't the Chiefs, you ain't the Rams, those are teams.
Those are the teams.
Those are the teams. And it's any given Sunday. So we got to get to that, right? So we got to demand that our GM get Pro Bowl players, right? All pro players. We just got Roquan Smith made the second team. Roquan and Robert Quinn.
And Robert Quinn. Oh, and Jakeem Grant.
Jakeem Grant. Who we got on offense?
Jakeem Grant.
He's a returner.
He's a returner.
Yeah. We got nobody on the offensive line. We got no running backs, no wide receivers, no tight ends, no quarterbacks. We need all pros if you want to win.
Speaking of, Sam Mustipher's PFF ranking is a 51.9.
Don't tell Lone Recruits.
51. See, and that's why I don't take shit that Olin says with face value. Okay, yeah, the Bears may have offered you $15 an hour, but maybe they offered you $15 an hour knowing, I mean, damn, if you've been working with Sam Mustipher, bro, that's about right, $15 an hour. Because that shit, come on, dog. Like, for real? Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It is what it is.
I mean, if they offered him 15, so what? You know, it's like, so?
Nah, that's bogus.
That shit he teaching Mustipher is bogus, too.
That's bogus. Man, Olin Cruz know what he's talking about, bro.
Oh, I'm not saying he don't. But
he know how to play the like game. Saying, he know what he's talking about. Now
maybe not be able to coach it.
A lot of people going to point the finger at Sam Mustipher and things like that. Like I said, man, this dude was an undrafted free agent coming out of college.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there was a lot that he needed to work on. There's a lot that he needed to work on. And this is really his first year start. You know what I'm saying? So I look at it like that, and I look at it like, hey, this guy is a work in development. And maybe he's a career backup. Maybe he's a good backup player. That's possible as well. But the Bears were playing him as a starter, and that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I mean? I don't agree with the pile on Sam Mustipher. I think he's made improvement. And I see some things in him that are good, that are very good. So that's just my take on it.
I'm slightly disappointed with, well, of course we knew Whitehair is what he is, but is it just me, or did y'all see, James Daniels just progressively week after week get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse?
Nah.
I mean, it was too many games. I'm watching him like pulling the I hate the dupe dog like this, but it's too many times I've watched him I watched him pull a Charles Leno, turn around and chasing motherfuckers in the backfield. Like, what is going on?
It's hard for me to evaluate the guys on this team, bro. Like, it's hard knowing everything that has gone down
with the shitty staff.
With I mean, just bad stuff, man. Everything has been bad. I'm talking about from management, upper management, ownership, down to the coaches, down to the assistant coaches, position coaches. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just all bad. It's a lot of terrible stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to be really, really critical about these players. You can look at them and say, hey, I want you to improve here. I think he has talent here. I think he can improve here. But if you don't give them, I mean, coaching, technique, all of that stuff, these are young, young dudes, man.
Yeah.
People forget how young James Daniels is. Yeah. At the beginning of the year, he was 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Still supposed to be in college in most cases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at these players and it's like they got a lot to learn and they had nobody really teaching them.
They're supposed to have Juan Castillo, the offensive line guru. I want to know, where was this guru at?
I mean, I would have kept Harry Hinstead, to be honest with you. I think those.
Yeah, but him, we know why Harry Hinstead.
Yeah, because he challenged Nagy.
Yeah. And that goes back. Let's go back to the same thing when you looking at GMs. Like, I read the article about Ed Dodds.
Even Olin Krutz said, I don't mean to cut you off, but even Olin Krutz said, check with Harry Hinstead. He remembered the $15 an hour situation as well.
Yeah. So you got to demand excellence. It's attention to detail. If you want to be a championship level team, right, you can't rest upon your laurels. Like Sam Mustard was cool. He's cool. Like for what he's done, he's an undrafted rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came in, you know, he started sick. He played every snap for the Chicago Bears. Mm-hmm. That's good. But you every gotta get position, better. You got to look, is this the best player? Can I get a better player? Can I improve on this position? So it's going to be interesting to see if they get a GM to come in here and look at this roster from an outside view. And what's his scouting report on Tevin Jenkins? What's his scouting report on Larry Bourne? Mm-hmm. Not Pace's, because he's going to have rose-colored glasses, right? He's going to be like, these are my guys. Mm-hmm. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have somebody come in here that's not, didn't draft these players, going to look these players honestly and tell you, that dude's not good enough. You know what? That dude's actually good. He needs to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And you need, every position needs to be done in Chicago, because you need to get the maximum amount of potential out of every position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's James Daniels, we need somebody that's going to come in here and look at James Daniels and say, is he good enough? Like, the one thing about the Colts guys I do like Morocco Brown, he's the one who picked Braden Smith.
Yeah.
All these guys, like, they know how to build offensive and defensive line.
Quentin now, Nelson, too.
Yeah, but that was a no-brainer. Quentin Nelson, right, was.
It was a no-brainer. He's body slamming motherfuckers. That's a lot. Like, damn.
Yeah, he was a beast. But that's not the only guy on the offensive line. Their whole entire offensive line.
Backups
are probably better than some of our starters.
Which goes to Carson Wentz, like, because they damn near had a 2,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
It goes to Carson Wentz, like, dude, you just suck.
Exactly.
You're not any good, man. That's what it boils down to. You suck. You know, start looking for something else to do, man. Go do drywall or something. Start your own construction company with the money that you fleeced.
Nah, he there for a while, man. Ain't nobody gonna take him now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That contract is really just kicking in too. Coast got their hands full with that situation.
Yeah, they gave him the kiss of death.
They deserve it for how they treated Andrew Luck. Booed that man. But it was kind of bogue though. You know, you don't retire at halftime.
That set them back big time. They would have been legit.
Hey,
they had Andrew.
Hey, he retired on the ass. He was watching the game like, nah, fuck this. Look, y'all sorry. Okay, I see where this is going. I'm going to go ahead and retire now.
He ain't the first one that did that to Indianapolis. What's his name?
Yeah,
the
cornerback. Marlon
Davis.
Oh, yeah, Devontae David. Yeah.
He
quit at halftime. He quit at halftime.
Like, where he at?
Took his pants off and was like, I'm out, man.
Yeah,
and the car drove away.
He was playing the game, went into the locker room at halftime, took his pants off, and was like, I'm out. I retired.
Yeah, I can't do this no more.
I'm done.
Like, damn.
Got what the people quitting at halftime?
Like, damn, you can't wait to the game over with? Like, damn, that's how you feel, huh?
Hey, that's what happened with AB. He's like, I'm hurt. He's just going to sit on the sideline. Like, hey, get out of here. If he ain't going to play. He just took his pads off, threw him up.
Yeah, that's a clown, man. You know, he'll never play in the NFL again. I'm certain he'll never play again.
I don't see it happening.
Never.
I don't see
but
it happening.
What the caveat, what was crazy, did y'all watch that Bills and Patriots game yesterday? Did you see it was a dildo in the end zone.
Yeah, somebody threw that joint on.
Somebody threw a dildo in the damn end zone. Like, what the fuck?
Buffalo, like, man, wild, man.
What's going on in Buffalo, man?
Them boys, they be jumping off the top of RVs, jumping in the tables, bro. Like,
going off that Rick James out there, man. That Rick James and Griselda. They need a butcher, man.
That's what they want. Butcher that sold them that dope.
Yeah, man. Sold them that loud pack.
Exactly.
They jumping off, breaking their arms, getting paralyzed.
So, head coaching candidates. I mean,
oh yeah.
All the people that they interviewed, I'm only high on a few. You know, I'm only high on a few. They still haven't interviewed. They interviewed Brian Daboll today.
Let's discuss Brian Daboll because that's the biggest name,
until the Cowboys play. Played, and everybody was screaming Kellen Moore.
Well, I was gonna say the Chiefs, and then it's gonna be the enemy.
Prisoners of the moment. Prisoners of the moment.
So, you know, let's talk about Brian Daboll because we got some differences of opinion, of course. So we'll talk about them, and then we'll get into we'll get into the other candidates. But I'll let y'all. I mean, go ahead, man. What?
Okay. My take on Brian Daboll or Daboll or Dabo. Or D-ball. However you want to say it, right?
D-ball.
That stuff.
D-bone. he is solid, right? He's solid. He has his own playbook. That's cute. But look at the run-pass disparity, right? And everybody says, oh, well, he doesn't have the running back that other teams have. You got to run the ball. I don't give a damn who back there. You do running back by committee if you don't have a star. You got to run the ball. You can't sit back. And perfect example, you know, he's the type of guy that will, he's a naggy. He's the type of guy that'll take I'm going to tell you why he's a naggy. He is the type that will try to take a square peg and fit it in a round hole. Perfect example. Let's take it back about 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks ago when they played the New England Patriots and it was a blizzard in Foxborough. What did he do? What did he do? Instead of running the damn ball, what did he do? He had his quarterback throw 40 times in that damn weather. 40. I've seen all I need to see after that. I don't want you. Because, again, you are a Matt Nagy. Fuck what everybody else think. This is my system. It's going to work. All I need you to do is run it. Nah, bruh. It don't work like that. The elements is telling you. You're not passing here. You're going to have to run the football. And he still refused.
50 mile an hour wind, bro.
And he still refused to run the damn football. You know how many rushing attempts they had that game? 9.
That's pathetic.
9. Right. This shit is crazy, right?
And it's not like they were getting blown out. That was
at
a
all.
Close game.
They lost 14-0.
That's what makes
it. I don't care
bad.
If it's bright and sunny outside. I don't care. It's 75 degrees and birds are chirping.
50 mile an hour wind. And he's still calling pass. He's still dialing up pass plays and shit. Like Air Coryell. Like, bruh, do you not understand it's 50 mile an hour swirling winds in this motherfucker? Like, motherfuckers is really getting shot in the face with snow pellets,
I don't care
bro.
If it's spring.
Legit, you know what I'm saying? So
time in spring, that's
it's crazy
now.
Because people want to say, like, you know, he's been this offensive guru for years, and oh, okay, great. But the thing is like, look, he's also been there since the start of Josh Allen's career. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for 2 years, Josh Allen has floundered for 2 years, right? And then they made the trade for Stephon Diggs, and what happened? It unlocked everything. Why? Because, number one, Stephon can get open. And then, number two, that's really what makes his offense click. If he has his number one receiver, and it's, if you don't believe me, folks, go back to the college tape when he was at Alabama. Who was the primary receiver at that time? You know?
Yeah.
The primary receiver at that time, wasn't it Jerry Jeudy?
They had everybody.
Ruggs.
They had Waddle.
Waddle.
They didn't have, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, whoever their number one was Ruggs. At the time.
That's my point.
That's how it opened up. Now, the crazy thing about it is, now that he got Stephon Diggs in that offense, okay, great. Now everybody want to say, oh, well, he helped with the development. Well, maybe Josh Allen wasn't no fucking scrub to go with to where, you know, he wasn't no scrub in Wyoming. He was actually a pretty good fucking quarterback. So it wasn't like he came into the NFL and was just ass. No, that wasn't the case. It was just the fact that he had no one to throw the ball to. Now he has Emmanuel Sanders. Now he has Stephon Diggs. And he has the young boy, whatever his name is, Camacho or Macho Taco, whatever the fuck his name is. They got him as the number three, right? But the crazy thing about it is, and again, I've seen this, it works against bad defenses. It works. Oh, it'll work. But then when you have a true, legit, solid defense with that one shutdown corner, what do? They throw him on Stephon Diggs, and it bottles up the offense. Because now no one's rolling two and three people to Stephon Diggs' way because they're so terrified of him beating them. They're not rolling two and three people to Stephon Diggs' way so the others can get open. They straight up manned up, man press. Because we believe your receivers aren't good enough. When they play the teams like, when they play the teams like Tennessee, when they play the teams like, and even against Kansas City, they struggle. Why? It's not a shootout when Buffalo plays Kansas City. It really ain't. Because all they do is take Tyrann Mathieu, slide him over. What they like to do is put Diggs in the slot because he's never playing outside. They're always playing Diggs in the slot as a number one, and they move him around, right? They take Tyrann Mathieu when they play Kansas City, and they put him on him, and he shuts him down. And then that offense struggles, and it sputters. And then that's when you get to see in the 50 and 55 and 56 attempts for a measly 220, 230, 260, 50-some attempts. And then they get blew out. Titans do it too. They take them completely away. So when Diggs isn't working, where can you go in your bag and say, okay, you took that away, but can you stop this? And he doesn't have a plan B because he has no run game. And he refuses to run the damn football. So when that offense don't work, they get worked over. They get raked over the coals really well. Dabo, yeah, he's great. Everyone thinks the Patriots are the Patriots of Tom Brady. That ain't them. Okay? Oh, well, DVA, they had an offensive DVA. Get your nerd ass out of here, okay? I'm telling you what my eyes see, okay? And what people don't also understand is a lot of that DVA shit, they played a lot of bad teams to start the season. That's how they got a lot of wins, okay? They played a lot of bad teams.
You talking about the Patriots?
Yeah, they played a lot of bad teams to start the year. So on the flip side of that, that's where that DVA comes from, okay? But don't nobody want to bring up over the last 4 weeks they went 1-3. It was getting their ass whooped on the regular.
Yeah.
The last four weeks of the season.
They were a 10-7 team, and we know that. 10-7. You know what I'm saying? Like, 10-7 rookie quarterback.
Check
know,
down, Charlie.
Come on, man.
They weren't juggernauts.
It wasn't surprising that Buffalo blew them out. I knew it would be a.
But let them tell it. But they were the number four ranked defense according to defensive DVA. Okay, and Charles Leno has a fucking 81.5 PFF ranking. Does that mean he's a great left tackle?
Is Bill Belichick. He doesn't have, like, I'll say probably the Bears' actual players are probably more with, like, they don't have a Khalil Mack on that defense, right? So they don't have a Robert Quinn. They don't have a Roquan Smith. Bill Belichick is a really good coach. So that's why they play sound defense. They're going to force you to play a certain way. And Buffalo, to that credit, they were stupid the first game and they adjusted. But one thing I do want to say this, and I want to touch on this with Bear fans, because like even with the Stephon Diggs thing, right? It's like, but they got Stephon Diggs. Okay, they got Stephon Diggs. Look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they went to the championship. They had Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin. Who was the Scotty Miller?
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with having supreme weaponry. Buffalo actually weaponry is lacking compared to like Tampa Bay, probably even the Green Bay.
And right? You know what's scary about Tampa Bay is that we forget that OJ Howard is on this team.
Yeah, I haven't.
You know, we forget that he's there because he is his minimal production out of him.
Yeah, and yet I'm they still.
Yeah, exactly.
Gronk is an all-time great
tight end.
I'm gonna say Buffalo's talent is not that lacking though.
It's I ain't saying it's lacking. I'm saying that weaponry. If you look at the Cowboys,
even the weaponry. I mean, I can argue that they got exactly. Buffalo has no, they have a balanced fit. They got a balanced fit.
Yeah.
What I like in Tampa Bay and Dallas too. That's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
And nothing wrong with that.
It's nothing wrong with that. This overflowing. This overflowing. Nothing wrong with that.
That should be your standard.
That's your standard as a GM. I get that. I get that 100%. But I'm gonna let you finish before I talk about it though. Go ahead though.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that I'm at the point where I've been watching this team long enough where that's what I demand from my general manager. It's attainable. And if your goal is to be able to get someone in here that can give me a Pro Bowl wide receiver. That can pick, because we already got Darnell Mooney. So give me a Pro Bowl guy, whether you gotta pay him or whatever, you gotta trade for him. I don't care. Calvin Ridley, you draft me a guy. And then you give me a pass catching tight end. Now you have an embarrassment of riches. Right? Now you got three wide receivers. Now you got David Montgomery. Now you got Khalil Herbert. Now you got Cole Kmet. Maybe Jasper Horsted can be a pass catching threat if you can evaluate him. Maybe you can grab somebody cheap. Now you got an embarrassment in riches. If you want to win, this is what I'm talking about. You want to be for that five or six teams in the NFL that have a legit chance at winning the championship, you need to have an embarrassment in riches. You need to have a Stephon Diggs. You need to have a Hopkins. You need to have an Amari Cooper. You need to have a Devontae Adams. You need to have the legit quarterback. You need to have the offensive line. You need to have the play caller. If you want to compete. Now, if you just want to have like a cool little team to get knocked out in the wild card round, cool. Don't have all that. You know, don't have it. Don't have a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense. I want to see the Chicago Bears win championships or compete for them. Because you can't win a championship every year. It's just not realistic. Unless you're Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Everybody else just has a shot. New Orleans, they won one. But you know what? Every single year, they were in that five or six teams that possibly could win. The Rams, always in that mix. All these teams are always in the mix. Seattle, before this year, were pretty much kind of always in the mix. You want to be one of those teams. Who do they have DK Metcalf at? They have guys, your defensive coordinators lose sleep at night. Who do the Bears have that anyone lose sleep at night on offense? Who keeps them up at night?
Nobody.
If you want Justin Fields, if everybody wants Justin Fields to have a good career, you're going to have a GM and a coaching staff that can draft and develop offensive line. You're going to have to have a coaching staff that can draft and develop offensive weapons. If not, we're not going to compete. And then, like, that's just the bottom line. I don't know who the coach is to do that. I'm not going to sit here, like, unlike a lot of people on the internet, I'm not the expert. I'm just a nigga with Wi-Fi. So they get paid tens of millions of dollars to figure this out. They're a billion-dollar organization. They should be able to figure it out. That's what you need. If you don't have that, you can't compete. Whether it's the Buffalo, the Ravens, they're always in the mix. The Steelers, they're always in the mix. They all have top flight talent.
That's cool. I mean, I get that. That
you gotta
that
have ain't, it. Tonight. You're not.
I ain't just, pushing back just, on that at all.
Right.
You gotta have it.
Yeah, I mean that's the reason the GM is gone. I'm not pushing back on that at all. But what I say about Daboll, in my opinion, this is what I say about Daboll because I've said it and I've been on it and I'm not gonna get off of it. Really, this is what I believe. When you look at Brian Daboll, and I put a statement out there, I tweeted something like, you know, yeah, he's doing it with a loaded roster, and everybody's like, what loaded roster? Because you're comparing it to the Dallas Cowboys, or you're comparing it to Tampa Bay, and that embarrassment of riches. And like you said, I agree with you. Our GM's job is to put that type of talent in the locker room, and let a guy go and do what he does with it. But I look at Buffalo, and I tell people, Buffalo is not like lacking talent. Oh, that all they got is Stephon Diggs. Yeah, he's a do it all wide receiver. He could do anything. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He can go deep. He can play possession if you need him to. He can do whatever you need him to do from the wide receiver standpoint. That's a stud, straight up, right? And then you got at the other, you know, at your slot receiver, Cole Beasley is one of the best slot receivers in the NFL, and has been for a few years. Right? One of the best. I would say top five slot receiver easily in the NFL. And then you got Dawson Knox, who's your tight end. He got 9 touchdown passes this year. 9. Then you got Davis and you got Emmanuel Sanders. Both of them averaged over 15 yards per catch this year. And both of them had, you know, well over what, 35, 40, 49 catches or whatever it was. So you got talent there. Then at your running back position, and people jumped on me about this. Oh, their running backs suck. All of them suck.
Nah, Singletary.
Nah, Singletary don't suck. You know what his career rushing average per carry is?
And at 4.5?
4.7.
Oh.
He averaged 4.6 this year. He averaged 4.6, but he only got 188 carries. That's my problem. That's 11 carries per game. That's what I'm talking about. Brian Daboll is unbalanced. He's unbalanced. Go look at the games. Devin Singletary had, I counted it, 7 games where he rushed for less. He had less than 10 attempts in 7 different games. That's pathetic, bro. That's what we had in Nagy. And when I make the comparison to Nagy, that's what I mean by that. It's not that I think he's arrogant or anything like that. I think it's he falls in love with the passing game, and that's what he wants to do. And just throw. You got a guy who can throw the ball and you just want to launch it. And I get it. It's a passing league now. I get it. But you got to have some balance in it.
I do got a caveat to that too.
Go ahead.
Me, I don't care how the Bears win. I don't care if they win the way I want them to win. I don't.
I don't care either.
The Buffalo Bills at the rank, number 2 ranked offense last scoring, they averaged 30 points a game. We've never done that. We can't even score 21 points a game. This year, they're third. I think they're like 28, right? Mm-hmm. The method, to me, I'm past that point because I've seen this team be bad for so long. This team hasn't won a playoff game since 2010. It was January 2011 when we beat the Seattle Seahawks, who was 7-19, and we lost to the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship. That was the last year we went to the playoffs. My daughter was a newborn, right? She was born in December. She was a baby. Mm-hmm. Still not sleeping. That's how long it's been. She's a tween now, mm-hmm. right? I'm past that. I'm past getting the guy I want. I'm past running the system that I want. They produced, okay? I don't knock teams for having talent. I thought we had a little bit of talent. Nagy still couldn't produce. He ain't Nagy because Nagy ain't never had a top 3 team offense ever.
Right.
He was number 9 in 2018, and that was Vic Fangio handing the ball at the 40-yard line. He was 9. That was the highest he ever been. And as far as like you look at the history of offensive coordinators, I went back and looked at Kyle Shanahan. I say he's a good play caller. I question his head coaching skills, but I guess I got to shut up because he made the playoffs with Jimmy Garoppolo. But I questioned his head coaching skills, but I say he's a good play caller. He ran teams in Washington and Cleveland. They were ranked 27-30. Mm-hmm. Then eventually he got with Atlanta, got with a good quarterback, developed himself, and then he put a juggernaut up. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Sean McVay. I looked him up. He had offenses ranked in the 20s and the 30s. He had a couple ranked in the 10s with Gruden in Washington. So the thing about they do run the ball. Well, at least Shanahan runs the ball more than all these guys. Daboll isn't number 1 on my list. I wouldn't say that. But if you look at his history, came up under Saban. He came up under Belichick. He loved both of those guys. He went on his own. He played for trash teams like the Browns who were running.
It don't matter.
But they said the same thing. Shanahan and them did the same thing. And they had
and they don't. They don't get no buy. They don't get no pass from
them. I'm just saying. These guys. When people say, "Well, he was here and he ran this," everybody's done that.
Put it like this.
Produce. Right. Can you produce? Can you win? Can you put a product out? He is not. People call him Fat Nagy. Nagy never had an offense that potent, ever. People figured out Nagy after year 1, he couldn't adapt. When you run the number 2 ranked offense out the year before, and you're in the same division as Bill Belichick, he knows what you're running. he is going to come out and try to stop you. And he actually did it this season, and just in this season. So I'm telling you, from an offensive standpoint, if you watch anybody, like I watched QB school. Everybody know I love QB school. J.T. O'Sullivan loves Brian Daboll's offensive, as he calls, architecture. The way his play, the way he runs his RPOs. It's not that he runs them. It's the way that he runs the RPO. When he read that, he's like, this is a mess. This guy knows way more about the quarterback position offense than I'll ever know. Mm-hmm. So when I lean on things, I'm leaning on that, on top of what I see. So I'm like, okay, what does he say about this? What does he say about these RPOs? What does he say about these routes that these receivers are running? Yes, he uses Stephon Diggs to get other players open, as you should. Yeah. And Nagy couldn't do it. You think Matt Nagy, if he had the same offense, he would produce another 3-ranked offense?
Man, I'm not even. I get what you're saying, bro. Like, but that's not my pushback. My pushback is, you know, would you say that right now in the NFL, in the, you know, his name is being put out there as an offensive guru? Would you say that?
Would I say that?
Yeah, that I mean,
yes,
like,
and I think out of pretty much all the people out there, he probably is the one that deserves it. Okay. I think Kellen Moore eventually, and Leftwich will eventually. But the thing that they don't have that he have is the track record, the resume, is the going to different places and having different philosophies.
My thing is this though, with Brian Daboll, and I'm not negating or taking away from what he's done the past 2 years, but it's been 2 years. So we talk about this long track record. Let's examine it then. You know what I'm saying? You look at Cleveland. We're talking about an offensive guru. That's what you just said. That's what I've been hearing. He's an offensive guru. He's a genius on the offensive side of the ball. He got his own playbook and blah, 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 blah. Right? 32 when he was with Cleveland.
Who was his quarterback?
It don't matter. And the reason I'm – No, let me Brady finish, Quinn. Let me finish. Oh, that's fine, Brady Quinn. But the reason why I say it doesn't matter is because if you're an offensive guru, I don't care who
you make anything work.
You make something work to where you're not wrong. Dead less.
No. Wait a minute, Will. Will.
Wait a minute, Will.
Look at Andy Reid. Look at Andy Reid and what he did with Alex Smith.
Andy Reid is a Hall of Famer, bro.
Well, it don't matter. He's an offensive guru. Look what he did with Alex Smith.
Guru,
he is one of the greatest coaches that ever played.
I don't care who you got. I don't care who you got at quarterback. I don't care who you got at quarterback. You cannot be dead last. 32.
Is Shanahan? Is Shanahan an offensive guru?
32, bro.
Is Shanahan an offensive guru? He was ranked 30.
He can't be ranked 29. I agree.
26, 25th, 26th, 30th, 27th.
And you heard me say that I don't give Shanahan no pass on that, right?
But he's considered offensive
guru.
Offensive guru.
So why are you arguing if I already said that he's not a
Ben, McVay had a 29 ranked offense.
Bro, I'm saying
look at who they offensive guru.
All right. Okay. What does that matter though? What does that matter when I said they don't get a pass for it? I never said they get a pass. I never said Sean McVay is the end all be all. I never said Kyle Shanahan. The only thing I've ever said about Kyle Shanahan is that I believe that he can cater his offense to different ways. He can run the ball. He can pass the ball. And to me, that's more signs of an offensive genius than somebody who's stuck in their way and can only deal with one system or run their system and they can't adapt. And they can't make changes. That's the only thing I've given him credit for. Now I'm talking about Brian Daboll. He goes back to Alabama, like you said. He went to Alabama. He won a national championship, right? You talk about the Super Bowls that he won with New England. He won a Super Bowl as what? A defensive assistant. He was a defensive assistant coach. Yes. He was a wide receivers coach in New England, right? Charlie Weiss was calling the plays. Yeah, exactly. It's not his offense that he's running there. So then when he takes his offense, he goes under Eric Mancini at Cleveland, 32-29 in the
Brady Quinn.
32-29, man. I'm just saying.
Where's Brady Quinn at right
to
now?
Me, and that's again, fine. Brady Quinn is trash.
But Alex Smith still got to be able to produce something. Yeah,
bro.
Look what Andy Reid did with Alex Smith.
Alex Smith was good before he went to Kansas City. He came when Harbaugh came to Kansas City. Alex Smith was trash. He was in the gut.
Harbaugh built that man up, and he got rid of him once he got Kaepernick. But Alex Smith was a decent quarterback. Let's not go. And Alex Smith was a great.
Yeah, he was.
He's a decent quarterback. The quarterback, I looked it up.
He was.
Matt Castle, when he was in Kansas City, he was a lame duck coach with Romeo Crennel. That's when the old boy shot himself in the head.
When he killed his girl. Yeah.
Yeah. That was that last year. They went 2-14. That was the year before Andy Reid took over. And then he was in Spagano in Miami, and they had Chad Henne and Matt Moore. And then the thing is this, and this is not the point. The reason why I looked up Shanahan, because I just wanted to see, like, what were these guys doing before they kind of figured out their own philosophy? They all kind of like were just out there just working for trash organizations. You just got to get your shot. And then eventually you develop your thing. You can't take away what they've done. I can't take away what Shanahan did in Atlanta because he had Matt Ryan and Julio. That's what you're supposed to do. When you have a good offensive mind and good offensive talent, you're supposed to be
you're ignoring what I said. You're ignoring what I said, and you're pushing. You're pushing what you want to.
No,
you're pushing what you want to push right there.
I'm pushing the stats, bro. You said he's considered offensive genius, and I brought up other offensive geniuses who did the same thing.
Okay, so tell me how he changed his game, because the only credit that I ever gave Kyle Shanahan, so please stop acting like I'm acting like Kyle Shanahan is the end all be all because he did something good in Atlanta.
Yeah, I didn't say you.
I consider
him. People consider Kyle Shanahan. I'm talking about general, not you.
Okay.
In general,
right.
Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay as the gold standards
of
offensive football in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they came out getting their teeth kicked in. And I think it's good that he started off as a defensive back. He actually played tight end in college. I think it's good he played defensive. Because Matt Nagy ain't had none of that background. Matt Nagy did not understand anything outside of a quarterback. So I like that he played coach defensive backs. I like that he coached Gronkowski. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, I'll tell you, this is just one of the guys on my list. He's not even the highest guy on my list. But mm-hmm. I prefer a guy who has head coaching credentials, because if I'm trying to entrust my organization, I want a guy that I know is going to come in here and run a system. I'm not worried about, oh, we got to win the championship. Nah, bro. You got to first make the playoffs and win a playoff game before you can even entertain the idea of going to a Super Bowl. We're so far away from the Super Bowl, I don't even think fans even understand. That's why I was pointing out the talent gap on these top teams. That's how far away you are. You need to find a Stephon Diggs to pair with a Darnell Mooney. Oh, and you need to find another guy. All right? And you probably need to change out two or three positions on your offensive line if you want to have an offense that is capable of winning an NFL championship. That's how far away we are. And that's why I wanted to point that out with that talent gap. I like that people bring up the talent gap, because that's what you need. If you don't have that, bro, you are not competing. You are not competing. You're going to be a 9-7, 8-8, 6-10. That's what we are.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I just feel like, you know, and I get what you're saying. The talent needs to be there, of course. But to me, if you're this guy, I just feel like you should be better than dead last in the league and at your supposed, you know, guru job title or whatever the case may be. That's just my opinion. I feel like he runs the ball too. I mean, he doesn't run the ball enough. Those are facts, man.
That's a valid argument.
188 carries for the dude. He played all 17 games and he averages 4.7 per carry. Why would you not give him the ball more often?
That's a valid. You know? That's, you won't get an argument out of that for me.
That's all I'm saying about Brian Daboll.
Yeah, you won't get an argument out of it for me. But
I'm not taking away from what he's done, because I think he's done a good job. But like I said, I mean, it all came together with one guy there, Stephon Diggs, man.
And once
you
breaks
put that
down
dude on your team, all of a sudden it was hitting.
Okay, I'll tell you this.
He didn't have no success like that.
I tell anybody, and anybody listening, find me an offensive explosion where a coach drags a trash quarterback, no weapons, poor offensive line in the top five.
In Miami, he didn't do nothing. He had Brandon Marshall, he had Brian Hartline, he had Reggie Bush, he had Daniel Thomas.
Matt Moore and Chad Henne.
I mean, I get what you're saying. You need some talent, but at the same time, you had enough talent to where you don't have to be at the bottom of the league, bro.
As I said, find me, I'm challenging anyone to find me a complete trash. Trash. I'm talking about like he's out of the league in 4 or 5 years. Because if you out of the league as a quarterback in 4 or 5 years, you're not good. I guarantee Tom Brady is younger, is older than every quarterback that I name. He's older than Brady Quinn. He's older than Matt Moore. He's older than Matt Castle. So they should be backup somewhere, right? No, they ain't even in the league. That means you're bad. If you can't even be a backup quarterback and you started in the NFL, you're horrible. And you're under the age of 35, you're trash. I'm sorry. You're just not good. Right? So I challenge anybody to find me a trash quarterback. Brady Quinn, like 33, bro. The last time I saw Brady Quinn, he was like on Notre Dame's getting like broadcast, dude.
He's 37 right now.
Like, yeah, how long he lasted in the NFL? He lasted 4 seasons.
Was it 4? That's it? No.
Yeah. He played for Cleveland 3 years and Kansas City 1, and he was done.
That music is garbage.
So, but that's what I'm saying. So the thing about it is this. Sure, yes, he has talent. He has a good quarterback. But ain't nothing wrong with that. If you had all that and you had the number 12th ranked offense, I'll have a problem. Because I'm like, you got too much talent to be that low. You're supposed to, like Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers. What are they? They number one? You know why? Because they got Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Matt LaFleur is calling the plays. And I want to get on that. Nate, what's that dude? Hackett? Whatever dude. Like, people want him. That's a guy mm-hmm. I push back on. You want to know why? He is an offensive coordinator who doesn't call plays for the Green Bay Packers, who have Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Matt LaFleur calling plays. Now, that's a Matt Nagy waiting to have.
And yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, yeah.
He don't call plays. Like,
I agree.
Why would I want?
I agree.
Like, what part is he playing the offense? What did he get the coffee? I agree.
He's the sugar cookie. You know, he's the sugar cookie getter.
Less milk. You made my day. Yay.
Straight you want to get that Cambodian breakfast?
Straight up.
So we talked enough about Brian Daboll's notes. Who y'all want, man?
One last thing about Brian Daboll. I'm not, and I just want to be clear, I'm not against Brian Daboll. I think he's done a good job at what he's doing in Buffalo.
I don't knock what he's doing. He just ain't.
I don't knock it. I don't knock it.
He's just not.
But I just believe there are better qualified, more qualified player guys out there that should be given that opportunity instead of Brian Daboll. That's all I'm saying.
Fair
he's
enough.
Not. He's not qualified to the level of what these other guys are qualified.
Yeah. So on that note, you talked about Brian Daboll. He ain't even that high on my list. He's on my list. He's like the only offensive guru on my list. But who y'all want? Like, what do you think the Bears from a GM perspective? Out of the, yeah, well, we start off that GM.
I want Rick Smith or I want Khan.
We can get both. Ooh.
Get both?
The assistant GM?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only way that could happen is if Rick Smith say, you know, I'm only going to be here for a certain amount of years, you know, and then I'm going to go ahead and bow out gracefully, but I'm a groom
he's
him
still
to be
fairly
my understudy.
Young too,
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Rick Smith is still fairly very young, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
what
you
is
know.
He?
I'm about to look it up.
44?
I either want
No. That's a Omar Khan.
Yeah, 44. I want my general managers are three: Rick Smith, Omar Khan, or Champ Kelly. Those three.
Champ.
Yeah. Promote from within.
Champ would be. He could be the right move, but you know, that a lot of people would be.
That's a lot of, yeah. You know, he's young. Yeah, he's young. You know what I'm saying? He was an understudy, but he worked his way up and he saved Pace's ass, you know, the last couple years with them drafts.
The only thing about Champ Kelly that gives me cause to pause is I need to know that he's going to come in here and do something different than what Pace was doing. I know that's you were the understudy of Pace, right? So you probably learned a little bit from him or whatever the case may be, but are you going to change this stuff over? Get all these coaches need to go. Don't carry none of these guys
over. Side two.
Don't, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. So, you know, you got a report out there, and it's like, you know, there's some coaches that are like, yeah, he should get the job, and players think that he should get it. It's like, I don't want no carryover from this regime we had.
They want to keep their jobs. That's why they want them.
Exactly. Hey, when it comes to Sean Desai, flat out.
Get the fuck out of here.
With that garbage ass coverage shit, schemes. Man, that shit, duh. Like the front seven, he had them motherfuckers buzzing. But that back four, that shit is garbage. Garbage. All the way.
Safety's cold.
He came from coaching them last year.
And he came from coaching them last year. So when it comes to Sean Desai, Bears fans, my mindset is
get the fuck out of here.
You got to go. Bye. Peace.
Gotta go. I want the whole coaching staff to be revamped and changed out, man. I just don't want there to be any leftover garbage from the old regime. That's just me, man.
My only worry with Brian Flores, if he's hired, what type of staff would it? Because I don't want that shit in Miami that he had. That coaching staff in Miami.
That music is garbage.
Straight up. And then how they turned on him. Right.
And he mentioned them, like Will mentioned them, or Roy mentioned them earlier. Like, you know, you went through four offensive coordinators in 3 years there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's a problem, bro. That's
so
an
why
issue.
Would we want to hire so him as a head coach?
On Flores. That's my drawback. Right.
Why would we want to hire him as a head coach?
Caldwell, but Caldwell seems like he wanted a head coaching job.
Caldwell would be ideal as a coach. He would be ideal. Shit.
As a head coach, yeah.
I'm not going to front, man, because when Jim Caldwell was running the damn offense, you know who his defensive coordinator was?
Terrell Austin.
Yes. And that motherfucker had that Lions defense.
And Lions, yeah.
Balling.
Mm-hmm.
Balling.
He did.
He had that Lions offense balling. I mean, defense, right. I'm sorry. He had that Lions defense balling. Right. So, but the crazy thing is, though, will he go and get Jim Bob Cooter to come and be the offensive coordinator?
Offensive guy? Yeah.
Jim Bob Cooter. Or will it be Lombardi, you know? He also had him as an offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you also got to take that into consideration, too. Oh, Cooter.
No, Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Get old Jim Bob Cooter, dude.
Yeah. I mean, so who else you got, Ness? You mentioned Flores. For GM. We talking about GM.
GM. My three is just Rick Smith, Omar Khan, or Champ Kelly. My three general managers. And then I will possibly maybe consider my man who keeps using all these crazy sayings or whatever, Morocco. Morocco Brown or... You know, he would be my fourth candidate. But, you know, those are only four. I'm not looking anywhere else. And far as head coach, I'm on board with Jim Caldwell. I'm on board. Of course, Harbaugh is my number one guy, you know. But that seems like a pipe dream because, again, he's about to re-up with Michigan, so they say. But, again, it's a conflicting report saying that he may not.
They're saying that he wants the Super Bowl, like his brother.
Uh-huh. So there's conflicting reports saying that he's not. But trust and believe, if the Bears were interviewing Jim Harbaugh, we wouldn't know nothing about it until they announced that he was hired.
They don't. Another thing I want to put out there, they don't have to because he's a college coach.
Absolutely. So
they don't have to request permission and absolutely. Police it. It's going to be on the low if they do it.
That would be the home run. That would be the home run swing to me.
And Fangio, woo!
Bring Fangio back. Harbaugh's the head coach. And have Rick Smith as the general manager. Fun times, man. Fun times. So, like I said, Harbaugh, Caldwell. After that, it gets murky, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm serious. Because the Flores shit. You know, that whole alienating of the staff for the last 8 weeks when he was going on a winning streak. Like, he wouldn't talk to none of them. Yeah, he wouldn't talk to none of them. Again, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how true that report is or whatever, whatnot. But then also the three different offensive coordinators in Miami. Like, dog, we can't do Justin like that. You know, I can't have my son going out like that.
Sometimes there's smoke, there's fire, too, right? So sometimes you're like, I don't know. Like, remember Deshaun Watson stuff came out? We was like, we don't know. But sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. You just like, it's a mess. And sometimes you don't know if you want to be involved in that mess. And then also with the Deshaun Watson, they seem to want to play together or coach together.
Yeah.
And there's smoke and there's fire.
There, and right? I saw a headline today that said, and this is coming from a blue check mark. I look at it. Brian Flores, he's like the front runner to get the job in Houston. So I think I mentioned it to y'all. What would that mean for Deshaun Watson? Would that mean he wants to stay there? I don't understand how that would happen.
I don't think he likes the ownership.
You know what I mean? So
I think with the
And then I heard another one there where Brian Flores, Deshaun Watson wants to go to New York and play for the Giants and have Brian Flores be the coach there. So I don't know how true that is either.
Right. Yesterday he's gonna have to clear up the shit he got going on before he can start, you know, trying to call his shot, because again, no team is going to touch him, bother looking at him, even engage in talks until they know that it's a done deal, the case is closed, and he's been vindicated. Whether he came to an agreement, whether he came to a settlement, whatever, whatnot. Because no team is going to give up three possible first round picks and players for him, knowing that he's not going to be on your roster in the next year or two. Mm-hmm. So he has to clear that up. That's why when A-Rob's little homie, his podcast buddy, came out with that tweet, I'm like, yeah, this is the biggest crock of shit I ever seen all season, because there's nothing happening until he clears that up, period. And he ain't calling no shots no fucking where. Until that court case is cleared up,
them judges calling them shots.
Exactly. So him deciding on where he going, that should be the last thing on his mind right now. Right now is getting vindicated, getting your name cleared, and getting out of that shit that you put yourself in with these jump off Instagram bitches. But aside from that, speaking of jump off Instagram bitches, Allen Robinson, you know what I'm saying? Hold up, bro.
I wanted to know what Will wanted
oh,
to
do. Oh, yeah, my bad, my bad, my bad. Yeah, GM, sorry bro. About that. Sorry about that. I got carried away. Sorry, fellas.
He said Instagram jump off, and he automatically went to his homeboy.
Yeah, because, you know, he that's who he wifed. He wifed the Instagram jump off. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You know, so, hey.
Bathrooms and houses. Yeah, for GM, I like Rick Smith. Like Ned said. And the reason why I liked him, I like the way he stood on his ground and he drafted Deshaun Watson. And you see that picture. I know it's a still shot and doesn't tell the whole story. When they drafted Deshaun Watson, they were drafted. He was the only one standing up. Mm-hmm. And everybody else was just kind of Bill O'Brien was just sitting there, because he knew that this dude was going to be special, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like that. He also drafted D-Hop. He drafted Watt.
J.J. Watt. Mm-hmm.
Brown. So he drafts the positions, that the crucial position, the blue chip positions, with like potential Hall of Fame players that we can't even get right.
Facts.
and he said that he was very interested in the Bears' job. So that tells me the man who drafted Deshaun Watson, who moved up to get him, who had that conviction, likes Justin Fields. So that means something to me, you know. So I'm just saying. So the Bears haven't been able to draft a blue chip edge rusher since
wide receiver. Like, I think Will, you put it in the group. You said
blue chip
wide receiver, tackle, edge rusher, corners, hell, safeties. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. When the last time we drafted?
Yeah.
A blue chip Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver.
Never.
Never.
Right. We always had to get him via free agency.
Yeah. Brandon Marshall was a trade. When the last time Khalil Mack was a trade?
Well,
Julius Peppers.
We drafted Alshon Jeffrey. He was solid.
Hall of Fame.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
Nah, you're right.
The closest one we drafted was Alshon Jeffrey and now Darnell Mooney, who was solid players.
Yeah, solid.
They're not deep. Yeah. Who we edge rusher? The last good edge rusher we drafted, Alex Brown.
Yep, and Anderson,
yeah, and they were good.
Yeah, but they weren't Hall of Famers.
Last great one, Richard Dent.
The
last great one.
Yeah,
great one. Great wide receivers, none. Great quarterbacks, none. Great tackles, what?
We draft great running backs and linebackers.
Yeah. So that's kind of what stuck out to me with Rick Smith, right? And I also like the Indiana Cats. I like Ed Dobbs, and I like Morocco Brown. Mm-hmm. I like Ed Dobbs because he seems to be fiery. Like, he doesn't accept. Like, there won't be no glitter balls in the locker room.
And yeah, and that's why I told y'all this new regime coming in. Eddie Jackson is in serious doubt moving forward. Yeah. Serious doubt, because and I'm not saying he's gonna get cut. So people do not say, "Oh, Eddie, you're saying Eddie's gonna get cut." No, but it's a strong possibility he could get traded.
He could.
It's a strong possibility. Come draft day, he could be packaged up with Tariq Cohen and get moved.
Ain't nobody trading Tariq.
No. I'm just saying, for like, you know, you move those two players just to get them off your books for like a fourth and a conditional seventh. You know what I'm saying? A fourth and a conditional set, because really right now for Eddie Jackson, that's all you're getting is a fourth.
Ooh, will you? Conditional, yeah. Six? Conditional six in 2025?
Right.
If he starts all 16, 17 games,
see what I'm saying?
Conditional six in 2025?
But cats like him, they in real serious doubt, man. Real serious doubt. So.
Yeah. And head coach, we already know, we all want Harbaugh, right?
Long yeah, hold shot. On, hold on, hold on. Let me give my GM, my okay. GM thing real quick. To me, it's three guys that stand out to me. And I'm gonna go in order of where not I'm gonna go from least to best. Least, I would say number three, Reggie McKenzie. A lot of people don't
yeah, from the Raiders.
You know what I mean? From the Raiders
and Green Bay.
Now, he was fired from the Raiders, mm-hmm. but you got to remember what he took over with the Raiders. And people say, no, he got fired from the Raiders. He ain't do nothing for them, blah, blah, blah. He drafted Amari Cooper. He drafted Derek Carr. He drafted Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
He got them – when he took over that franchise, they were in salary cap hell.
Yep.
And he got them out of that situation. So what he did with the Raiders was really good, like some of the picks that he had and some of the players that he had when he was with the Raiders. You know, and then he went to Miami. He's like player personnel down there or whatever the case may be. So I think Reggie McKenzie is a option, right? I haven't heard him interview, but this is just who I like. This is mm-hmm. just my opinion. Number two would be Dobbs.
Oh, breaking news.
What is it?
Breaking news. You want to hit the horn? You speak of Reggie McKenzie.
Uh-huh.
Albert Breer. 7 minutes ago, the Bears have put in a request to interview Reggie McKenzie, now a Dolphins senior personnel executive for their open GM spot, per sources.
Nice.
Live right here on
nice.
The Three Kings podcast, breaking news. On it.
Dan Stradamus.
That's dope right there. I like that. Man. Who would have thought, man?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
that's
ahead.
That's what's up. Yeah, so Reggie McKenzie, I think he's a good name. That's a good candidate, man. Just look up what he did. Bears fans, look up what he did. And he drafted some good players. Amari Cooper, Khalil Mack. I mean, he made some things happen.
You had my heart in my throat for a minute because I thought you was about to say that they hired Jim Harbaugh. I was about to be like.
Hey, I wouldn't have been that calm, bro.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been that calm.
I'd have fell off my chair.
He'd have been all the way hyped.
Like, oh, hey, I'd have really got a steak and some milk for dinner tonight.
Man. Ugh. Oh,
glass of milk, whole milk,
whole milk,
steak and whole milk. If that don't give you the shits, bro. I don't know what will.
He's a madman. I love it.
I can't do it. But yeah, man, I think McKenzie is a good name. I think in Dobbs is as well, for the same reason that Will said. I mean, he got passion. You know what I'm saying? And you can see that passion. And when you got a guy who's passionate about what he's doing, that means he wants to win. So he's going to do what he can to make it, you know, he ain't going to put out no piss poor effort if you fiery like that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a good name. I would probably move McKenzie into second place, to be honest with you, put Dobbs at third, just because of, I got respect for what McKenzie did with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And then my first pick would be Rick Smith. And with Rick Smith, I believe Rick Smith, after I kind of researched what he was doing in Houston and things like that, you know, I think he's qualified, but he's even overqualified if you think mm-hmm. about it,
facts.
In my opinion. And that's the one candidate that I can look at and say, I think he's overqualified. And if you got a guy who's overqualified, go get him.
Facts.
Straight up. Straight up.
I agree. Totally agree. Now, hey, coaches. We already kind of said, Harbaugh.
Yeah, Harbeezy.
Harbaugh.
Mine is Harbaugh, Caldwell, and like I said,
you hitting on Flores, huh?
I don't know about Flores, man. It's just Harbaugh, Caldwell, man. At this point, it's like, I don't know about Flores, man.
Yeah, all those reports, man. I was all Flores because I was like, man, because he's the type of guy that would make, he would check Eddie Jackson. He would check somebody like Allen Robinson. He don't play that.
Right.
You just like, oh, man.
Y'all think he going to try to re-up with the Bears, man? Because I don't see nobody giving him no money. So, y'all think he going to try to re-up with the Bears in a new regime?
If they hire the right people, I guarantee you. Because I think his beef was with Pace and with Nagy. And that's why he put that, I love Chicago, man.
He's looking at,
hey, it's like you're a chick, you're about to break up with your man, think you're hiding, you go out to the club, and you ain't getting no number. You're like, man, I might be a good one.
Bro, Allen Robinson alluded to it again. Like he alluded to it last year, right? When he said that, you know, it was reports that he felt like he was kind of lied to. He was told one thing and then they went back on their word and then something else. Then he alluded to it again on that podcast that he was on earlier this week.
KJ,
where he was like, Nagy didn't even call me from the time we left the Saints playoff game all the way until June or July. I didn't have a conversation with him. Now, Nagy's always the guy who's talking about communication and open door. And you know what I mean? Yeah, maybe Allen Robinson goes to people and stuff like that, but that was supposed to be your guy. That's who you brought here.
And you know
and Allen Robinson mentioned that. He said Nagy was my guy.
He was acting like a bitch too, though.
I get it. He was. I'm not saying he wasn't.
Because he was acting like a bitch too. Because when we drafted Justin Fields, he didn't even reach out to him.
I agree. He was. But whose responsibility is it more? So. To not act that way, the coach, the head coach, who's trying to instill a culture,
I think,
or the player.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. And in that situation, though, I think it was more so, if you ain't fucking with me, I ain't fucking with you. And I think they both were like steadfast on that, both sides.
And that's a problem.
It is.
A player could be like that, but you as a coach need to reach out and bring that player back in. You know what I'm saying? Don't just let them stray all the way off.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because let's be real. These players got egos. They got money. They want, you know what I mean? Like, he's in a contract situation. Of course he's going to be disgruntled. You should expect that. Yep. And as a coach, you should be able to figure out how to get around that situation.
And the crazy thing about it was the fact that with A-Rod being disgruntled and then with Pace and Nagy, like, oh, you're going to be like that to us? Then fuck you. When it carried over and them not speaking, that's when they was like, you know what, fuck him. Okay, I'll tell you what, we gonna go ahead and go to Mooney this year.
Yeah.
And that's where the phase out began.
That's where
But A-Rob didn't really help himself.
No, he didn't.
Early parts of the season, going out there being disgruntled, dropping passes and shit, and dropping touchdowns, that was like absolute dimes. And then his agent, I think another reason why they phased him out is because B. Parker, you know what it is, man. You know you listen to the podcast. But that comment that you made killed your client. 15 more games, 16 more games. That comment killed your client. And I think that was when he went public with that and people start pointing it out. That's what turned the fan base off. I was a supporter of A-Rob a long time ago. When I first met Dan, I was a huge supporter of A-Rob. Mm-hmm. Dan know that.
Yeah.
When we was talking about Mitch Trubisky. And B. Parker put that tweet out about abused receivers and, you know, things of that nature with Mitch Trubisky. You know, I mean, I knew A-Rob since he was a pup at St. Mary's. Right here in Michigan. You know what I'm saying? He was a pup. A young boy running around, you know what I'm saying, playing against my little cousin and them, you know what I'm saying, at Pontiac Northern and all that, you know what I'm saying? So when they played them in the playoffs. So I knew him when he was a young boy, you know what I'm saying? And I used to go up there with Red and Booby and all them and, you know, GP, Coach GP, you know what I'm saying? He coached me. So come on, man. You know, I was a huge supporter of the young man. But then when you start turning and you start going through these motions, I understand you want to get your money. But, young man, you have to be professional. You can't get caught up in the emotions when this is business. You got to learn to differentiate the two. And then your agent is coming out making these comments. Y'all seem like disgruntled women. And that's what turned us off from you.
He did it for the most part. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like 90% of the way he was good, and he would just lose it, like on Twitter or on the field. And then and it's like
he started getting caught up in that Anthony Miller shit.
Yeah. And you know, these fools they find whatever reason they want not to pay your ass.
Yeah. Right?
So you know.
That's what it was.
Yeah, and you just gotta, but those dudes are gone. So now, like, the Bears still can control him. I know people were like, oh, it's a foregone conclusion. You got a whole new staff in here.
Yeah.
Rick Smith can come in here and be like, I love A-Rob. I'm slapping the tab on. Mm-hmm. We're going to work out a contract.
Yeah. Right.
Get your ass down. Get your agent in here. We're going to work out a deal. Because mm-hmm. when she was on the market, the Bears should be looking at the market like, Gallup towards ACL.
Right.
Godwin towards ACL. Like, who wants to sign? DJ Chark.
Yeah.
Right.
So I can bring back Allen Robinson. I had Darnell Mooney, and I can go draft, you know.
Drake London.
Yeah.
Drake London.
Drake Please. London. And now I got an embarrassment of riches.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to tell people. Don't get caught up in this. Oh, we got Mooney and we good. No.
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 No. Bring in two guys.
We need to. And that's what I be saying. Like, please bring in two guys.
Weaponry.
Not one wide receiver. We need two good wide receivers.
And another goddamn tight end.
And another pass catching tight end.
That's it.
You know, you don't have to have Kelce. You don't have to have those guys. You just need a guy that can get you 30, 40, 50 catches.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
look at the Cowboys. They got that dude Dalton Schultz. He's not he's not Kelce, but bro, he gets it done. He get it done. You talking about 80 catches or whatever it is. He gets it done.
And they still got
and you still got
Amari Cooper and had Gallup before he got hurt.
So that's what you want, that embarrassment of riches. And I think there's those guys that we named, some of the guys that we named are guys who would go do that. As far as coaches, man, I'm thinking for me, I know Will, you want to talk about Leftwich, didn't you?
Just quickly. Yeah, I ain't got nothing deep on it.
Okay. But I don't mind Leftwich either. I got him higher on my list than I got Daboll.
Same.
In my opinion. I do. I got Leftwich higher than Daboll.
I like Leftwich, so you ain't gonna get
And done. I'm not saying Daboll is bad. Yeah, you like Leftwich.
Yeah,
so
Daboll isn't bad. I just got people higher.
Yeah, I got people higher. And like you said, I mean, I think it goes a lot of it goes to, you know, you talk about a guy who used to play quarterback. He was talented. He was pretty good.
But and he was a leader of men.
He was a
leader.
Remember Ann Marshall?
And his teammates Marshall. Loved him.
Yeah, yeah. He's a leader of men.
Remember his teammates out there to carry him
they
up.
They was carrying him up and no huddle offense.
Exactly. That was dope. So, you know what I mean? You look at a guy like that, he's got something. So I think him, of course, we're all on the same page with Harbaugh. You know what I mean? And that's who else was I thinking? I'm drawing a blank. Go ahead, Will. I'll get back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it as far as head coaches for me. I'm going to hit up on trash tweet of the week. It's been so many trash tweets. I just got a trash account right now. I want to say it's the Bears blog. This dude has been tweeting some hellacious, horrific tweets like an insider.
Oh.
He's like making educated guesses, right? This is the same dude that said A-Rob had the contract extension in 2 days and A-Rob came in with all the caps.
Yeah.
Man, stop listening to this guy, people, man. Like, this dude, you think, come on, man. These guys don't have a GM. Where is he getting this information? Does he know Virginia McCaskey? Does he know George McCaskey? Because where is he getting this inside information from?
Right.
And people still listen to him, though. That's the funny part.
He fired everybody, bro. And then they were like, oh, Ryan Pace would be fired. And that's my prediction. Oh, he got it right.
We Ben knew his ass was getting fired. Come on.
Who didn't think he was going to get fired?
Right.
So man, that's all I got. He's a trash account. You know.
It's crazy.
Hey, new news and notes, man. We definitely about to get this live streaming up and going. Just purchased the camera. So, you know what I'm saying? It's about to be clicking. We're going to get the pages set up and whatnot once we get it going. And it's going to be so dope because at first it's going to have us all like in a chart, you know, our own individual blocks. And then when another, and then when one of us take over and, you know, we start talking and go into our segment, the camera just boom right on them, and it's the full version, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then when we all start interacting again, it goes back to the three boxes or whatever. It's gonna be dope, man. So y'all continue to rock with us, and you know, we got a lot coming in 2022.
Yeah, we got a whole lot coming, man. We appreciate y'all.
We got a lot coming.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
When that news hit, we right on the airwaves. Right on the airwaves.
Exactly. Oh, and one last thing. Shout out to the Bear Down Report. Luke O'Grady.
BDR.
He wrote an article with talking about some of the cuts and restructures that could happen. And Will, Roy has been on it. DeVore's been on it. Myself, we've all been on it. The Bears should have $70 to $80 million available.
Yes, sir.
Come free agency.
Yes, sir.
And his article really breaks it down. For anybody who thinks, no, because I got pushback on that last week. The Bears ain't going to have that much money, blah, blah, blah. Will. We got this, we got that. They're going to have plenty of money, man. Trust me. The salary cap is going up, and you're going to be able to get rid of a whole lot of contracts. Dead money.
Yeah, dead money.
Coming off.
It's always restructures.
Facts.
So yeah, it's always restructures. So, you know, he wrote a nice article. I'm a quote tweet it so that y'all can check it out if you can. But shout out to Luke O'Grady for that report there.
Yeah, shout out to them. They always showing love. We got to do a collab one of these days.
Definitely, guys.
All three of us. We all went on individually.
Right.
Yeah. Well, shout out to them, man. Shout out to everybody that rock with us, man. There's so many of y'all. Be waiting for the podcast to drop. Be in the DMs. Waiting for the podcast to drop.
Facts.
Asking us when we dropping. So, you know, one person in particular, shout out to at Gus Solano 44. Gus always like, when y'all dropping? When y'all dropping?
Yeah.
So we dropping, Gus. So there you go.
We coming.
Other than that, man, we out, man.
We out of here.
Y'all take it easy. Peace.